Sean is going to come and give us our reading, and then Simon is going to speak to us in a moment.
Okay, our reading this morning is from Matthew 38 to 48, and reading the NIRV translation. You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said, an eye must be put out for an eye, a tooth must be knocked out for a tooth. But here is what I tell you, do not fight against an evil person. Suppose someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn your other cheek to them also. Suppose someone takes you to court to get your shirt, let them have your coat also. Suppose someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. Give to the one who asks you for something. Don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow something from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But here is what I tell you. Love your enemies, pray for those who hurt you. Then you will be children of your Father who is in heaven. He causes his sun to shine on evil people and good people. He sends rain on those who do right and those who don't. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Even the tax collectors do that. If you greet only your own people, what more are you doing than others? Even people who are ungodly do that. So be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Thank you. That's right. I've got it. Yeah, so we should be different from tax collectors and pagans, people who are ungodly. Are we? Hopefully. Hopefully we should shine. We should shine brightly. And of course we want to be different. And it's possible if we follow Jesus' teaching. The world says, don't do evil acts. Jesus says, don't have evil thoughts. The world says, do not murder. Jesus says, do not get angry. Do not be angry with others. The world says, do not take excessive revenge. Jesus says, take no revenge at all. The world says, love your friends. Jesus says, love your enemies. Jesus asks us today, I think, what are we doing that is different to others? What are we doing that is different to others? In this passage, Jesus challenges the traditional wisdom about retaliation and revenge. He calls his followers to a radical love that extends to everyone, including any enemies. And at the end of the passage, he teaches that true discipleship reflects the character of God, who loves even those who oppose him. God loved us while we were still his enemies. He loved us even to death on a cross. So let's not think that we've ever loved someone enough, because there's always more that we can love someone. And genuine faith says that we're not going to seek revenge, but choose to give more and to love not only our neighbours, but also our enemies. So today, with different things, we're going to be thinking about who our enemies are. And we're going to be thinking about how we can reflect God's love in a world that desperately needs hope and reconciliation. So let's look at this passage. I think the first thing that Jesus talks about is that we need to respond with radical grace. Yeah, we need to respond with grace. The Bible in the Old Testament teaches that we can have a bit of revenge. Yeah, if someone hurts us, we can hurt them the same way. Let's look, see what it says in Leviticus. Anyone who injures another person must be dealt with according to the injury inflicted. A fracture for a fracture, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. whatever anyone does to injure another person must be paid back in kind. Or in Exodus, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot. It prevented people from taking excessive revenge. Yeah? You hurt my hand, I'll hurt both your hands. You hurt my foot, I'll hurt both your hands and punch you in the face. You punch me in the face and hurt both my hands, I'll punch you in the face and whack you on the back and kick you. Yeah? You kick me, oh, right, okay, I'm going to punch you and get you down and tread on you. Oh, okay, you're going to tread on me, well, I'm going to tread on you and I'm going to kick you and I'm going to smack you. Oh, okay, well, you're going to tread on me, I'm going to tread on you and I'm going to stab you with a knife. Oh, okay, you're going to stab me with a knife, I'm going to stab you with a knife and then shoot you with a gun. Ha ha! Right, now I'm going to stand up and I'm going to blow you up with a bomb. Or something like that. That's how it can go, isn't it? So easy that we could, that revenge goes up because we have to do something worse to them than we suffer ourselves. But Jesus says, now let's not think about a law. Let's not think about a law. Let's think about an attitude, a change of heart. Yeah, how we can choose not to revenge. Yeah, of course, we need to think that Jesus was talking about personal stuff here, when something happens to us personally, yeah, that we can show grace and show mercy. If someone is harming others or causing injustice or there's abuse and things like that, we need to make sure the law gets involved and people do get punished. Yeah, for criminal offences. That's not right. We're not saying it means that anyone can do anything. But it is saying if someone hurts us, if someone treats us badly, if someone does something to us, we show grace. Let's turn the other cheek instead of seeking revenge. This radical approach reflects God's grace and mercy, and it demonstrates that love is stronger than hate. When we respond with love and kindness in the face of hostility, we reflect how Jesus has shown love to us. Yeah, because he never responds with hostility when we hated him, when we've forgotten him, when we've done something nasty. He never responds with hostility. His love for us is always, 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 always there. But to turn the other cheek, it means we must stay where we are. It means we don't run away. It means we don't turn. It means that we have to show faith and love to the person. Faith that, yeah, you might hurt me, but I know God is for me. You might hurt me, but God is on my side. Oh, I am on God's side, and he has the victory. So you might hurt me again on the outside, but God is with me. But it also means we show love to the person. Powerful love. Yeah, powerful love that says, how can I help you? How can I bless you? How can I support you? How can I build you up? Yes, you're treating me badly, but how can I bless you? How can I pray for you? It means, yeah, it means it's hard. It's a vulnerable place to be. But you know, it's the strong thing to do. It's a strong thing to do. A weak person fights back. Strong person says, no, I'm going to hold back any feelings of rage I've got. And I'm going to choose to love. Yeah? If I can choose to protect you, build you up rather than hurt you, that is the strong thing to do. A strong person loves. not thinking of themselves, but they give up their own rights and they stay strong. Now here, what I want to do is, in this first bit, I want you to watch something. This is, we're going to show a couple of clips from The Chosen. And The Chosen is a TV show that portrays the disciples of Jesus and Jesus as they go through the years where they followed Jesus. It's a drama, so it's not all biblical, but everything that happens is something that could have happened. Yet, yeah? Not saying that it did happen, it's saying that it could have happened, something like this. So this is Jesus, you can see on the screen, Jesus at the front there, talking to Simon Peter, and his followers are behind him. So let's see what happens to Jesus and his followers.
Disarm yourselves and leave your bags. You're carrying ours now.
Under Roman law, a soldier can force a Jew to carry his things.
At random.
There is a legal limit, a maximum of 1 mile and no further.
Quiet.
Master, this is humiliating.
We will comply with dignity.
What must it be like walking around all day with no metal weighing your head down? Ever have helmet hair?
You too. You.
I think that I'm not made of straw, Matthew. I can carry it.
Hurry along, rats! Rats with nice hats.
Master, let me take that. You should not have
to. No. It is no more unsuitable on my head than any of yours.
We both know that is not true.
Thank you for your concern, Judas.
So this is the disciples, Jesus and the disciples, being forced to carry these Roman... These Romans have stopped them and forced them to carry their equipment and their helmets and everything. And they're beginning to start taking the mick out of them and stuff. But there's two words that come up. If we can have it, I think it's where it can be a little bit louder. But the two words that come up later on, where they talk about coercion, when you've been forced to do something.
Sorry.
When you're being forced to do something, coercion, and violation, my own violation, which means my own choice to do something. So violation, when I, my own violation, my own choice, coercion, when someone's forcing you to do something. Yeah, so those words come up later on. So let's watch what happens as they get towards the milepost.
I got you.
It's not that I'm humiliated. I am. It's that I'm so murderously angry at doing this to him.
I've done this plenty. It doesn't get any easier the next time.
Which one of you does this belong to?
Come on. I never could have imagined a moment like this.
He said to submit, so we submit.
The painful irony of some of his teaching.
Do you know what the holy man who performed the circumcision say?
What?
The pay is lousy, but we get to keep the tips.
The Conus. The sign is the mile marker.
In your entire lives, I bet you've never been so grateful for the enshrined Roman law.
We know this has been an honor for all of you.
Stop here! I said stop!
The destination is that outpost a mile ahead, yes?
It is, but we're only permitted 1 mile.
By coercion. There's no law against citizens assisting you the rest of the way of their own volition. Come, my friends.
But
if anyone says anything, say that we offered.
Rabbi, what are we doing? Why would we just help Romans?
Judas, where did we meet?
At the sermon on the Chorazin Plain.
Good. Whenever you are troubled, think back on my message.
Maybe, let us take back the helmets. So there's no confusion at the outpost.
If you like.
Forces you to go 1 mile.
Go with him too.
You might have noticed that they left all their bags where the Romans got them to pick up their stuff, because they were wanting to go in that direction towards Bethany. But the Romans made them walk that way. So it's not just if you're going that way, and someone says, while you're going that way, can you carry one bag, my bag for me? The Romans could say, oh, you're going that way? Well, I want you to carry my bag for me that way, 1 mile. And then Jesus said, well, let's go for a second mile. Which means by the time they'd got to that second mile, they had to walk 2 miles back. So going an extra mile is going an extra 2 miles. Or going more. You know, it's that thing, isn't it? Then they have to go back, and as they get back, they go, oh, at least our stuff's still here. Because it could have been stolen. Yeah, Jesus shows the power of not trying to retaliate, not trying to have vengeance, but offering grace. The next bit that we're thinking of is that we can extend extraordinary love towards people. Because Jesus says, you have a law that says, love your neighbour. Nowhere in the Old Testament does it say, hate your enemy. There's just almost that implication, because it says, love your neighbour. And it's like, so it's like, yeah, you don't have to love other people, but love your neighbour. And it must have been shocking when Jesus said to these people, yeah, but I say, love your enemy. He's already said, don't resist an evildoer. Don't resist someone who is against you. Relate, if at all possible, to people who are against you as neighbours, as friends. Be loving, not hateful. Be kind, not harsh. Revenge of any type is not an option. Paul's words in Romans 12 explain it quite well. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to what is honourable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. Because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you'll be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil by good. But if we look again at Jesus' words, I want to think about something that's slightly controversial. We don't have enemies. So how do we love enemies? Because I think most of us don't have enemies. I don't think there's many of us that can say that there is someone who is sitting at home now or is plotting something to harm you. Yet the Romans were people who plotted to make sure that the Jewish people were kept in control, and they plotted and they did things to make their life misery. Yet just for their own reward, just for their own, nothing for the Jewish benefit, just for theirs. They were the enemy. Our houses are not being bombed. Yet no one is taking our food and stealing it from us just because we're their enemy. Yeah, I'm not saying nasty things don't happen to us, but that's just because because people take opportunity. It's not because they are thinking, I want to hurt you. Yeah, so I don't think we have enemies, except the ones we make. Except the ones, the people we choose to make as an enemy. Yes, the people at school who you might think, they don't like me, or I don't like them, or they did something nasty, so they're going to be my enemy. Someone in the office, they're going to be my enemy. But if you ask them, they don't want to hurt you. They don't think anything of you. They're just doing what they do. But we create people to be our enemies. So let's have an example. I need some people that are going to come up the front here. I need about 15 people here, and I need 15 people here. Of any age, children, adults, just anyone who wants to either be a neighbour or an enemy. Right? So over here, Dave, can you come and hold a sign over here? So you can be over here. So, yeah, over here. Yeah, come on, look, all you're wearing dark clothes. And then that's appropriate, isn't it? Right, okay, so we've got enemies over there. And we've got neighbours, thank you. So we've got neighbours over here. Neighbours and enemies. Right, this is what Jesus... Sorry? Or is this prophetical? I don't know. Or can we add some more people? Are there any more boys that can come on this side? No, come on, some boy people of any age and some girl people of any age. Come on this side. Thank you. Right, okay. Right, so we've got neighbours and we've got enemies. But let's think of something that Jesus said in a different part. Do you remember a story of the Good Samaritan? Yeah, a story of the Good Samaritan, where someone came up to Jesus and said, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get these things? And one of the things Jesus said is, love God, but love your neighbour. And the person said, but who is my neighbour? And Jesus told a story of a man who was walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he got attacked by attackers, by robbers. And Well, that's who attack people, attackers. And people who defend are defenders. Right, so the attackers attacked and they left him for dead. And then a Jewish person went past and another Jewish person went past. And then a Samaritan who was an enemy. As far as the Jews were concerned, the Samaritans were enemies. Yet when Jesus said, we need to go at a different time, Jesus said to his followers, we need to go through Samaria. They all looked at him and went, what? Why have we got to go through there? Why on earth have we got to go through there? Surely it's much better to take the ridiculously long way round it. And Jesus went, no, we're going to go through it. And they were like, because the Samaritans were their enemies. Yeah? In front of the Jewish people, they knew Samaritans were enemies. Romans were enemies. So they knew when Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbours, but I say, love your enemies. They would have been thinking Samaritans and Romans. But then in this story, the Samaritan helps this man that was been beaten up by the attackers. And he takes him, and he takes him to an inn, and he says, help him, and if I'll come back, and I'll pay you all the money that's needed. And at the end of this story, Jesus says to the man, so there you go. So let's say, now which of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the attackers? By the bandits. The man, the Jewish man, couldn't bring himself to say it was the Samaritan because he didn't even want to use his name. So he said, the one who was kind to him, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, now go and do the same. Meaning, be a neighbor to those who are your enemies. Or even, because your enemies are your neighbors. I think that's what Jesus is saying, the Good Samaritan, isn't he? Your enemies are your neighbors. So, I don't think we should have any enemies. So, all enemies can come across to the neighbours. Come on across. So, now our neighbours' side is really big. Come on. You're not right. Right. So, everyone is a neighbour. Even people that we thought were enemies, that you might consider enemies, are neighbours. And we should treat everyone as if they're neighbours, where we love them and we show kindness to them and we want their best. But the problem is we make some people into enemies. So who can think of a reason why we might make someone into an enemy? They were mean. They were mean to you. Okay. Anna, you were the mean person to Lisa. So you come over here. Right, have we got any other reason why someone would become an enemy? Yeah, Josh. We're talking about personal stuff here. I mean, it sort of went up a bit, didn't it? They were mean to you. They've got something you want. Yeah, so they've got something you want. So it's got something that I want. So she becomes an enemy. So Anna has said something mean to us. And a 3-8 has got something I want. What about they pull out in front of you and cut you up on the road? They become an enemy then, don't they? Right, Adam, you can be the bad driver. Right? I know. We're pretending, right? Okay. So now we've got three enemies. Enemies that we've created. Does the driver think that Jason is his enemy? No. But Jason has made him into his enemy. Anna said something unkind to Lisa. Does Anna constantly want to do that, or just Anna just say that? Is she just being unkind to lots of people in a way, because that's the sort of person she is?
No.
We're acting, we're pretending. It's just banter. It's just banter. Yeah. So the thing is, yeah, so Lisa thinks she's mean to her all the time, but Anna thinks, no, I'm just being me. Anna, Lisa's not my enemy. And Afriye has got something that Gemma wants. Is Afriye deliberately thinking, ha, Gemma's my enemy because she hasn't got something? No, she doesn't care what Gemma's got or not got. It's only Gemma that's thinking that she's an enemy. So we've got... But let's rewind. You three, come sort of to here. Right, okay. I think we have a choice. We have a choice. We can either say, I'm going to love these people. I'm going to love these people because they're all neighbours. So even if they've got something I want, even if they're unkind to me, even if they cut me up in the road, I'm going to choose still to love them. I'm going to choose still to want the best for them. I'm not going to let them become an enemy. Yeah, so that's one option. We just keep loving them. And they never become an enemy. The other option is that they do become an enemy. And what do we do with people who are enemies? We love them. We love them.
What?
Right? So people who are neighbours, we love them. We want the best for them. Have you not been listening at all? What do you... Right. So people who are neighbours, we love them. We want the best for them. We care for them. We pray for them. We help them. People who are enemies, we love them. We want the best for them. We pray for them. We want to help them. We want to do everything we can for them. So in a way, we don't treat anyone differently. But the way we treat someone who managed to sneak into the enemy side is that we love them so much that they go back into the friend side. Because I think that the reality is that when the neighbour side can become the friend side. Even people who we think are our enemies, when we love them, when we want the best for them, they become friends. Thanks very much, everyone, for your friendship, neighbour, enemy side. Give all our friends a round of applause. So it's just a challenge there that when you think that someone is becoming an enemy, when you think that, oh, I don't like this person, what they've done I don't like, are you going to allow that to go this distance and then love them so they come back here? Or are you just going to keep loving them so they never go that way? I don't mind, and I don't think it really matters, because Jesus says, love your enemies. Want the best for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Support your enemies. Yeah, and our neighbours, we should love. We should want the best for. We should care for. And it might be you're thinking today, well, there are some people that I've firmly placed here. Are firmly placed as an enemy. They might not know it, or they might know it because we've taken some revenge against them, and so they've made us into their enemy. How can you change that around? Change that around and say, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them, because that is what God has done for us. That is what God has done for us. When we choose to be his enemy, he chooses to love us. He chooses to do everything he can to win us back. How can we do that for other people where we love and we care and we show amazing love. You know, when we show love, Jesus isn't talking about, you know, the different types of word for love. He's not talking about philia love, which is about friendship. Because these people you might not like. Yeah, some people that you go into the enemy thing are people you don't like. And so Jesus isn't saying about be friendly to them, being best friends with them, because that might be tricky. Then he's not saying about eros, which is romantic love. He's not saying, you know, these people that you really struggle with, go out and kiss them. Because that would be weird. And listen to Dave's sermon from a couple of weeks ago. He's not saying storge love, which is sort of family love. Yeah, I love you because you're part of my family. He's saying agape love. Right, agape love, which is the type of love that didn't really exist much before Jesus. And agape love says, I'm going to love you because of me. Yeah, agape love says, because of who I am, I'm going to choose to love you. Yeah, friendship love says, because of who you are, I'm going to choose to be your friend. Eros love says, because of you, who you are, I'm going to choose to kiss you. Yeah, but agape love says, doesn't matter what you are, I am going to choose to love you. And that's what God does to us, isn't it? Yeah, God says, yeah, there might be nothing in your hands that makes you worth being loved, but I'm going to choose to love you. Choose to love you. We wanna work for that, you know, just help to bless people and encourage people and build people up. Yeah, to the thing. Right, let's have our final little thing. We want to pursue perfect love. Yeah, Jesus said at the end, be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. And I think one way we do that is by showing kindness and love to everyone we meet. Yeah, everyone we meet, whether they're a friend, whether they're not yet a friend, they're a neighbour, they're someone we like, and hopefully they'll become a friend. For people who perhaps we'll never like, but we still want to be kind to them. For people who sometimes hurt us, but we still want to be kind to them. I wonder whether we could make a chain of kindness. Yeah, a chain of kindness. So this is where I need some volunteers to give out. I want to give everyone a couple of bits of paper. And thank you, Lisa. And if, share it with someone else as well. So everyone, a couple of bits of paper, or two or three, pass them around. And we've got some pens. Or you might have some pens. Thank you. Esme, would you like to pass around some pens? So what we want to do on this bit of paper is to write down a way that you can demonstrate a love that is like the love that Jesus has for us, and how you can love someone else, how you can show kindness to someone else. Yeah, so perhaps you're deliberately thinking about someone in particular that you know is a bit of an enemy at the moment. How are you going to show kindness to them? Write it nice and big on one side of the bit of paper, and then people will go around collecting the strips and we'll staple them together while we're singing our final songs. Write down a way that you can show kindness. It might be, you know, some inviting people for tea, or phoning them up, or contacting them, or helping them in some way, or praying for people, caring for people, different ways that you can show kindness. But a challenge is for you to make it honest. Make it honest. This is how I am going to show kindness. This is how I am going to show kindness to someone that I struggle to show kindness to. This is how I am going to show kindness to someone who would be surprised by this. Yeah, this is how I'm going to show kindness. Make this as a response, an honest response. You know, we could have said, write down how you're going to take revenge. But this isn't. This isn't what Nikki was saying earlier on about wanting to take revenge for people. This is how we're going to show kindness to those people who we've made into our enemies. If you haven't got a pen, stick up a paw. Or just in behind you, Jem. If you're at home, you might want to even start thinking about how you could just think about some of these people who are like an enemy or enemies that you've made. And what you could do is perhaps, you know, write your own list or even start writing a text to someone, writing a letter that you could give to someone. Even start thinking about how you could make that meal or whatever it might be. Start reflecting again how you can show kindness to the enemies that you've created or to people that you struggle to be friends with. How can you show kindness to them? Yeah, as you've got one, pass them to the end of rows and stick your hands up, and some people with staplers will come round and staple them together. And if you're willing to be a stapler, give it to Man. Man is very good, and Lisa is very good at stapling. Yeah. Yeah, if you sing a song and then I'll sort of conclude it after the... Yeah. What I mean is I'll conclude my bit and then... Yeah. Whilst we're responding and making this chain of kindness, yeah, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing the song that says, "Good, good Father." You know, one of the reasons why we sing the song, "Good, good Father," is because the Sermon on the Mount contains one side of the coin. It contains the bit of the coin that says, "This is how you should behave." Yeah, you should be kind to people. You shouldn't be angry with people. You shouldn't give vengeance to people. You should love people. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is one that says, God loves you like this. God loves you like this. He is your perfect father, your good, good father. That is how he is. All he's asking us to do is to be like him. It's the other side of the same coin. We are to be like him. So let's respond. If you finish writing, you might want to stand up. If you suddenly think of something else you want to write, please write it. But let's stand together and sing about our good, good Father.